Hello everyone, I'm Phil Liggett and you're listening to the Fredcast on the Tour de France 2008. Enjoy it.
Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous and, some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Well, today is Wednesday, July the 9th. Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast. It is stage 5 of the 2008 Tour de France, and we are coming off what was a very exciting stage 4 yesterday with our individual time trial and the really huge surprise of Stefan Schumacher blasting to victory and taking the yellow jersey. Today's stage 5 is the longest of this year's Tour de France. But before we get into the details of today's stage, let's recap where we are in the race so far. There are 178 racers left in the race, beginning today's stage, out of the 180 who began early last weekend. Recapping where we are as far as our leaders in this year's race, right now Stefan Schumacher from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner is sitting in first place and will be wearing the yellow jersey in today's stage 5, 14 hours, 4 minutes, and 41 seconds. 12 seconds back of him is Kim Kirken from Team Colombia, the former Team Highroad. In third place, it's a rider from another renamed team, the former Slipstream Chipotle, now Garmin Chipotle. Also 12 seconds back, it's David Miller from the UK. Fourth place, Cadel Evans. Fifth, Fabian Cancellara. Sixth, Christian Vandevelde. Seventh, George Hincapie. Eighth, Thomas Lundqvist. Ninth, Vincenzo Nibali. And in 10th place, Jose Ivan Gutierrez. Here in the United States, at least, there's a lot of excitement over the fact that we have 3 Team Colombia riders in the top 10 and 2 Garmin Chipotle riders in the top 10. In the green jersey, that's the jersey for the points won at intermediate and finishing sprints. Kim Kirken from Team Colombia with 69 points. In the white jersey for the best young rider, it's Andy Schleck from Team CSC Saxo Bank. And in the polka dot jersey for the King of the Mountains, those are the points that riders win for cresting the summits of climbs in the top placings as they go over those climbs. It's Thomas Vogler from Bouygues Telecom with 19 points. Now, Vogler hasn't, well, nobody has had the chance to win any King of the Mountains points over the last couple of days because, well, quite frankly, there haven't been any mountains. And that brings us to today's stage 5. Today's stage 5 from Cholet to Châtereau, 232 kilometers. It is the longest stage of the entire Tour de France. Of all 3 weeks of this year's race, this is the longest stage. And you know what? That's not too bad when you consider that there are no categorized climbs. Once again, Thomas Vogler will be wearing the polka dot jersey tomorrow, no matter what happens in today's stage, because nobody's winning King of the Mountains points. There are 3 intermediate sprints. They are well spaced along the course today to allow riders to get those points as the stage progresses. And let's talk a little bit now about how today's stage went. Now, you may recall that in yesterday's Daily Tour podcast, I mentioned the fact that this was the kind of stage where I expected a breakaway to get away and be gone for a long time. But I also expected that that breakaway would get reeled in and that it would be up to the sprinters and the teams of the sprinters to get their men into position for the sprint victory and perhaps some green jersey points. That seems to be exactly what happened today. About 30 kilometers out, there was an attack, and a breakaway went away. It consisted of three Frenchmen, Nicolas Vaugendy from Agri2Belle, Florent Brard from Cofidis, and Liliane Jégou from Française du Jeu. Well, with those three men in the break at the 33.5-kilometer first sprint, you can imagine who the top three finishers were. Jégou took first place points, Vaugendy took second place points, and Brard took third place points. Now, at one point, the gap went up to about 9 minutes or so. And it was at that point when the peloton decided, hey, you know what, guys? Maybe it's time to start reeling these guys in. Now, at one point, there was a crash in the peloton, and one of the race favorites, former yellow jersey wearer in this year's Tour de France, Alejandro Valverde, did go down. Just a slight touch of wheels, he hit the pavement. You could see him at the back of the peloton talking to the race doctor in their convertible car. Looked like a possible knee and elbow injury. Didn't look too serious. Nevertheless, Valverde seemed to be taking it easy today. At sprint number two, at 98.5 kilometers in, Brard took the first place points. Then Vaugendy took second, and Jégou took third place points at that second sprint. At the third sprint, 152 kilometers into the race, Vaugendy took first place points, followed by Brard and Jégou, meaning that there was an even split of points, first place points, in today's sprint between the three breakaway riders. Now, by this point, with about 80 kilometers to go, we started to watch the gap start to drop fairly precipitously. At 60 kilometers to go, there was a gap of about 2.5 minutes. 50 kilometers, it had gone down by almost 30 seconds, 2 minutes and 8 seconds. 40 kilometers, 1 minute and 53 seconds. And at this point, I commented on the Twitter that it wasn't a question of if the break will be caught, but when. But this was interesting. Now we're at 1:53 down. 10 kilometers later, 1:27 down. 10 kilometers later, with 20 kilometers left to go, the lead was 1:15. Now, at 15 kilometers, the gap goes down to below 1 minute. You could see Team Colombia, Credit Agricole, really pushing hard at the front of the peloton, joined by Team Gerolsteiner, really trying to catch the break. By the time we get to 10 kilometers to go, there's a 33-second gap. And it seemed like at that point that the break really started to gain even more legs than they had had previously, because by 5 kilometers, we're at a 21-second gap. At 2 kilometers to go, there is still a breakaway, and the peloton begins to breathe down their neck. And just before Le Flamme Rouge, the red banner signaling 1 kilometer to go, Vaugendy took off on his own. Jégou and Brard quickly swallowed by the peloton, and it seemed like Vaugendy might actually win the day. Now, either he went off too early, or he had orders not to win the stage, because something very interesting happened. Within the last 200, maybe even the last 100 meters, you could see Vaugendy visibly sitting up, visibly stopping, lifting up on that hammer and letting the peloton pass him by. I was really surprised at this. Now, it's possible you got the longest stage of the Tour de France. It's possible that he just simply went off too early, and before he got to the finish line, his energy stores were spent. The lactic acid was just burning his legs, and he could not do it. I was rooting for him in that last kilometer, and when he sat up, I was really disappointing. But that did allow the peloton to stream by him, and we ended up with one of those classic Tour de France sprint finishes. And the winner? Well, what was exciting was it was a first-time victory for Mark Cavendish from the UK, and he was so excited, and he deserved the victory. This has been something he's wanted for quite some time. Second place? Well, second place really looked like a photo finish, but in the end, it was Oscar Freire in second, Eric Zabel in third, Tor Husoft in fourth, and Baden Cook in fifth place. So with those results today, the general classification, really no change. But let's run down the rest of the top 10. So we had Cavendish, Freire, Zabel, Husoft, and Cook. Sixth place, Robbie Hunter from Team Barlow World. In seventh, Leonardo Duque from Cofidis. In eighth, Robbie McEwen from Ceylon Salado. In ninth, Francesco Cicci from Team Liquigas. And from Garmin Chipotle, in 10th place, it was Julian Dean. all 10 of the riders finishing with the same official time of 5 hours, 27 minutes, and 52 seconds. At the end of the day, Stefan Schumacher retains the yellow jersey with an overall time of 19 hours, 32 minutes, and 33 seconds, and the rest of your top 10 in the general classification remains unchanged. Kim Kirkin in second place, David Miller in third, Cadel Evans in fourth, followed by Fabian Cancellara in fifth, Christian Vandevelde in sixth place, George Hincapie in seventh, despite a puncture in the very late stages of today's race. Thomas Lokvist in eighth, Vincenzo Nibali in ninth, and 10th place, Jose Ivan Gutierrez from Casa de Parña, 1 minute and 1 second behind Stefan Schumacher. In the green jersey now, it's Tor Husoft from Norway and Crédit Agricole, leaping above Kim Kirkin with 88 points. The white jersey is now worn by Thomas Lokvist from Sweden and Team Colombia, and the polka dot jersey, as expected, Thomas Vogler from France and Bouygues Telecom with 19 King of the Mountains points. Now, for those of you who are also following that King of the Mountains competition, a lot of you have had your eyes on Juan Mauricio Soler from Team Barlow World because he was the King of the Mountains winner last year in the Tour de France. Bad news for you, folks. Despite soldiering on for a number of stages when nobody thought that he would, Juan Mauricio Soler was forced to withdraw today and abandon the 2008 Tour de France. Now, another rider that a lot of us expected after today's race that would abandon is Gerold Steiner's Heinrich Hausler. He took a very bad fall with just a couple of kilometers left to go in today's race, and he was on the ground for quite some time. Nevertheless, he did finish today's stage about 6.5 minutes behind our winner today of Mark Cavendish. Be interesting to see if Hausler shows up tomorrow. It looked like a very nasty fall that he took. He was on the ground for quite some time. Of course, we do wish him well. Now, before we get to the preview of tomorrow's Stage 6, something really interesting that I wanted to mention to you. If any of you have ever used Google Maps before, you may be familiar with a feature that they have there called Street View. Simply put, when you go to Google Maps and you look at a map for a particular area, if that map is outlined in blue, you can actually fly through the area and get a look at what it looks like in a total 360-degree view. So for instance, I put my address in where my home is, and I can literally drive down the street virtually through Google Maps, and I can see every house, every car, every address, every driveway, every person that was walking their dog the day that the Google Street View van came through. It's a really great technology and something that, quite frankly, when I travel, I use all the time to get a bit familiar with the area in which I'll be traveling. Well, to launch Google Street View in Europe, Google has partnered with the Tour de France and has enabled Street View views, if you will, for almost every meter of this year's Tour de France. So you could go on and, using Google Street View, take a virtual ride through, if you wanted to, tomorrow, Stage 6 of the Tour de France. If you wanted to take a virtual ride on the Alpe d'Huez, which is one of the most famous climbs in the Tour de France and coming up later on in the mountains, you could do that as well. It's a very cool technology. I will put a link on the website at www.thefredcast.com in the show notes for this show. Go ahead and check it out. I did. It is a really great thing. Not quite like being there with the crowds and with the devil at the top of the climbs. Nevertheless, a really great way to familiarize yourself with a stage before it happens. Speaking of familiarizing yourself with the stage, it's time to look at tomorrow's Stage 6. Tomorrow's Stage 6 is what the Tour de France calls the Medium Mountains. This will be 195.5 kilometers from Aiguironde to Superbès. This will be the time when the racers cross the Massif Central in Europe. And in my opinion, every stage up until this one has been the time for the teams, the riders, and the directors sportif to really start sizing each other up. This has been the time for them to do a little bit of reconnaissance on the teams and who the strong riders are, who the strong teams are, and to start mapping out their strategy for what will be tomorrow's first real mountain stage. And if you look at the profile of tomorrow's stage, all it does is go up. Now, there are two intermediate sprints, one at 23.5 and then at 44.5 kilometers, the third at 144 kilometers. But between that 44.5 kilometer sprint and the 144 kilometer sprint, there are going to be two Category 4 climbs. And then, shortly after that 144 kilometer sprint, the road heaves up in a big way at the Col de la Croix Morande, a number 2 category climb. It is really going to start separating out the sprinters from the GC contenders. And then, at the finish, in Superbesse, the road heaves up again in yet another Category 2 climb and our first mountaintop finish of this year's Tour de France. This is where it starts getting good. And when you start watching my Twitter tracking of tomorrow's race, when we're going to start seeing not just one breakaway and a peloton, but we're going to start seeing a breakaway, perhaps a chase or two, and then a peloton or two as the peloton starts getting broken up, especially once they hit that Col de la Croix Morande, and certainly as they start to approach Superbesse at 1,289 meters. Now, for those of you who are Tour de France fans and have been for a long time, you will know that Superbesse has been a stage finish twice before. First in 1978 when Paul Wellens won that stage, and then in 1996 when Rolf Sørensen won the stage. It should be an exciting stage tomorrow and a great finish at the top of Superbesse, and it should be the time when we really start to watch for the first time the general classification start to shake up and shake out as we start approaching the end of the first week of this year's Tour de France. Thanks so much for joining me for yet another edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. I will be back tomorrow with another edition of the Daily Podcast after tomorrow's Stage 6, and then family commitments. I will have to take a couple of days off of doing my coverage both here on the podcast as well as on Twitter. That's the reason why at the beginning of the show I always say this is an almost daily coverage of the Tour de France, because sometimes real life gets in the way of bicycle racing. But I do appreciate you being with us. We will be back again tomorrow. So long for now. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/dailytour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. for the final results of the day's racing, and of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.